Well, coming up this weekend is the annual Hideout Block Party. Yes, the Chicago staple brings great music, food, and booze to the Hideout grounds. They make the city move the garbage trucks from across the street to make way for the bands like 11 Dream Day, Man or Astroman, or some of the Hideout legends like John Langford. Last year, the Hideout Block Party took a break, changed form a little bit, but this weekend they get back to the roots to celebrate the Hideout's drinking age. They are 21 years old. The Hideout is a very special place that many consider to be the best live music venue in Chicago. On the line with us, two of the co-owners of the Hideout, Tim and Katie Tutton. Tim, Katie, thanks for being here.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Justin.
So let's talk about this. Why bring the festival back in this iteration? Last year you had the 20th anniversary, and you kind of went away from the idea of a block party. Why bring it back?
What we decided was the Hideout Block Party, we were really happy. It got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I kind of used to think that the Hideout Block Party should be a blockbuster, like the biggest, massivest, largest thing that we could do on our block. And after, like, last year when it was our 20th reunion, we were talking to our friends, and our friends were saying, you know what, let's just do it the way we used to do it, like a party. More instead of a blockbuster party, a block party, put the party back in it. Mm-hmm. So last year we just did it the way we did it for kind of fun, like in the 90s. And it was so much more, it was so fun. And it's basically everybody that was there, our people that come to the Hideout, hang out at the Hideout. And so that's what we're doing again this year, but we're doing it for 2 days this year.
I love it. Go ahead, Katie.
It's an all-ages show, and we want to encourage people to bring their families, and we're doing the crowd-out rehearsal, which is this really cool thing that they're doing across the whole city with Illinois Humanities Festival and the Chicago Humanities Festival, and each ward is going to be represented with a choir, and the Hideout's the second ward, and we're going to have a rehearsal that day at 2 o'clock.
Saturday, yeah.
Oh,
that's pretty cool and different. Yeah,
right. Well, talk about the themes, because you got a couple themes that you're putting forward on the stages and the different nights for the block party.
Well, really, so what happened was now at the Hideout, it used to be we used to kind of set up parties, but the people who come to the Hideout, they, which is really a democratic thing, they kind of take over now. And so last year after the block party, 11 Dream Day played. And Rick Rizzo mentioned that he was turning, and I can say this because he's publicly said it, he's turning 60 years old this year.
Wow.
Okay? And I know, for being like a killer rock guitar god, it's weird to think of that number 60. And it turned out that John Langford is also turning 60. And Tara Key, who is the killer guitar player of Antietam, is turning 60. Rick Brown is turning 60. So Ira Kaplan from Yellow Tango, he's turning 60. Sue Miller from Lounge Acts and Julia Adams from Lounge Acts, they're turning 60. So we thought, actually, that's pretty cool that these major rock and rollers.
And so, Joe Shanahan from the Metro.
Yeah. So but nobody wanted to really say, well, it's my 60th birthday. So John Langford always jokes about how he was born 2 days after Sputnik was blasted off into space. And, so we're calling it Sputnik's birthday party, 1957.
That's great.
Yeah. So kids were encouraging kids and families to come, wear tinfoil hats, dress like it's 1957 space race, bring a spud, put little straws in it, call it a Sputnik.
We're going to have a Sputnik pinata.
Yeah. So we're just saluting the great, great things Russians have done. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's Saturday, right? That's Saturday night. And then Saturday. And then
so Saturday
Sunday night. Yeah.
Oh, but wait. So on Saturday, the other thing is it's going to traditionally start off with guitar orchestra. So all those that are listening, if you have a guitar or violin or banjo and you want to come play, it starts off the day at 1:30 with guitar orchestra. So just show up with your instrument and, you know,
that's the idea why we do the block party. We've always been participatory, but now it's really like you got a guitar, bring it. You get to jam from 1 to 1:30 to 2. If you want to sing, We encourage everybody, kids, teenagers, you can come and you can sing with the Second Ward Choir. We'll have the music there for you. They'll direct it. And we're trying to get as many people as we can for that. And then at 3 o'clock, everyone sings Happy Birthday. Thank you, Eli's Cheesecake, for providing that great cake. And then we're going to have the 60th birthday party.
Awesome.
And then on Sunday, another guy that was at our party last year was Steve Albini, and he's been part of the Hideout forever. And he wanted to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Electrical Audio Studio.
How great is that?
It's awesome. So he picked a bunch of bands. He picked 9 bands that are going to play. And some of the bands, most of them have all played at the Hideout before. And some of them recorded live albums at the Hideout with Steve Albini before, like Screaming Females, Nina Anastasia. They're going to be there.
Certainly Dianoga and Jay Ryan. He's made lots of posters for us.
Yeah, and he does, and they don't play that much. Meat Wave, Fax is going to kind of do one of their first shows. So there's going to be some new bands, and then there's going to be some of the great bands that don't play that much. Manor Astro Man is coming up from down south.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
And they're going to perform. Again, part of that space theme.
Well, you know, you mentioned it. You both mentioned it at the beginning of this interview. The idea of this block party has been around for years now, but it really is a way for you to celebrate the community that's created around the Hideout. Because you mentioned all
Absolutely.
These names and all these musicians and everybody who's involved, but they're and everyone will play at different plates, different times, and they'll spend time at the bar. But this is really as much about a music festival as it is about a community gathering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a time for a lot of us to see friends we haven't seen in a long time. People bring their kids so we get to, see their kids as they've grown over the years. And it's been 21 years. So a lot of some of the young people that are volunteering, they weren't even born when we started and they're helping us set up, sell merch. It's very participatory.
It's kind of funny because it's totally rock and roll. It's punk rock. But it's also the most family, like all, I guess, American family style thing. For instance, John Linkford will be up on stage jamming out with Skull Orchard and for his 60th birthday. But our backstage intern is Jimmy Linkford. His son is 20. He's going to college now. And so it's like, so I know. And that's, we have a lot of like the kids who are now 18, 19, 20. They will not be drinking.
Yes.
They will not be drinking. They will not be wristbanded. They're going to be there and they're volunteering to help, with the different, setting up the tents and all that. So the block party is really, it's like a family reunion. I know that sounds corny, but it's a kick-ass family reunion that has like Manor Astro Man. And Screaming Females.
I need that in my family.
That was the family.
Right,
yeah. Screaming Females is the band.
Right.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this.
Line.
For both of you, I mean, the Hideout, and I have said this that, many consider this to be the Hideout to be the best music venue in Chicago. You talk about, putting this together for the block party. What I've noticed and have been a part of, but is just that you have been so eclectic in the last couple of years on what you put on stage, whether it be talk shows, political gatherings, book signings, comedy shows. I mean, it's not just music. Where does that come from, the idea of putting stuff on stage that may not be the sort of traditional feel and vibe that the Hideout has brought Chicago in the years past?
Well, for many reasons. One mainly is that the people who are in the audience oftentimes will bring us a brilliant idea and we're like, go ahead and do it. This sounds like a great idea. So when we first got the Hideout, you go to the bank and you get a loan and they said, well, what is it you really want this to be? And we said, we want it to be like a community house. And so it kind of has morphed into that. So case in point, think of Mark Baser. He came to us with the idea for the interview show, and we were like, love it, do it. So, and sometimes, too, it's just we ourselves think of an idea that, oh, that would be interesting to have, or we haven't seen something like that. And
what it literally is we're called a music club, but in reality, even from the time we opened up in 96 when we bought it, The Hideout is a conversation that takes place at the bar. So when you're at the bar and you're sitting there talking, you are either, okay, 1 minute you're talking about something super serious. Okay, hence we have political talk shows at the Hideout. And then the next minute, you're just totally joking about a stupid joke. We have stand-up comedians at the Hideout. And then you're talking about the band you want to be in, or you're talking about the band that you love, that you're listening to, that's on the sound system. There's the music, right? And so the Hideout is really like a magazine, or it's just like a normal person. So sometimes you read books. So we have book signings there. And then you want to hear laughs and comedy. So it's not one thing, but it's also, it all comes from, like Katie said, Mark Fazer. It comes from Claire Zulke. It comes from the people who work at the Hideout. They're in bands too. So everybody just says, and it literally is a thing where people say, wouldn't it be cool if we had this band? Wouldn't it be cool if we did this show?
And we have weddings and bar mitzvahs. We just had a beautiful memorial service on Sunday. And we're really excited about, Tim, tell them about the Mavis book.
Oh, so this is the kind of how worlds collide. Everything comes together, and you're like, I can't believe our world is like this. So Mavis Staples, first of all, when she recorded her live album at the Hideout in 2008, we were like, okay, we're there. It can never get better than that. And it was one of those crazy things where at the last minute, she wanted to do a live show. They wanted to do it at the Hideout. They're like, can we do it next week? It happened really fast, and we couldn't sleep for a week. Then she did it, and it turned out better, like it surpassed expectations. And it isn't like you think, like, this is going to be really cool. It's like, oh, my God, I just saw this happen before my eyes. At that night in 2008, Jeff Tweedy was there. And Jeff Tweedy and Wilco saw her. They went and they talked to her after the show. And they said, let's make some music together. They made these three albums. Another one's coming out. And she won a Grammy. And Greg Kot from the Tribune, he wrote this story about that, okay? And he turned it into this book called I'll Take You There.
Right.
So we, when that happened, we're like, awesome, we're in a book, and it tells the history. That really happened. Now we know for history. Mavis Staples, Wilco, the Hideout, meet. A Grammy comes out of it. And then the city of Chicago last weekend chose I'll Take You There by Greg Kot, the life story of Mavis Staples, to be the one city, one book. And on page one of that book, it starts out, Mavis was backstage at the Hideout. Hideout block party. Yeah, the Hideout block party, where she's done two block parties since she did that live album.
So I love it.
The Hideout is now on page one of the one city, one book, and in chapter 41 and 42. And as a 20-year Chicago public school teacher, who I was one of the teachers who had to, like, teach the kids Stuart Dybeck's book and Kill a Mockingbird and some of the other books that they had, it's like, I know, like, it's crazy. There's going to be 400,000 Chicago public school kids that are going to go, what? I got to read that stupid book. And then they're going to open it up, and they always get to page five. And on page one, it's backstage at the Hideout. So I know they're going to read that part.
There you go.
I know. So it's kind of like we're pretty anyway.
Awesome.
That's where, like, the bookish part, the actual street cool civil rights, Mavis Staples part, the alt-country Wilco part, the writer who hangs out, Greg Kot part, you know.
It's all there.
All these characters come together, and that's the Hideout.
That's awesome. Tim Tutton, Katie Tutton, the Hideout block parties this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 1354 West Waubonsie. If you haven't been, you got to go. If you've been, you know exactly what it is and how great it is. Tim, Katie, thanks for joining me tonight. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I just want to say one more thing. It's free, and we're just asking for donations, and the donations go to Foundation for Music. So
you're going to be supporting more kids in Chicago public schools get music education, and hopefully they'll have that book by Greg Kot.
There you go. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're partying so that kids can read and learn. It's a good thing.